being local, being small, being community-minded, all sounds like the advertisement for almost any business in rural America. And community banking is no different. John Rosenboom is with Heartland Bank in Manson, Iowa. He's our guest on this installment of the M2M podcast, a production of Iowa PBS and the Market to Market TV show. Hello, I'm Paul Yeager. Glad to have you here. Rosenboom and I had a conversation on a windy afternoon in Johnson, Iowa, as we talked about community banking, the role of the Iowa Bankers Association and the Agriculture Committee that he is chair of for 2020 into 2021. We find out what's happening in rural America because he is a farmer himself. How good was that yield? What is one of the biggest challenges as we look to 2021? And what are some ways that we can pull from ourselves to move forward? That is the discussion today as we have a conversation with our banker again on the podcast. How good was the corn this year?
In our area?
Yeah.
We live in a drought area, so it was, we were kind of on the northern edge of the drought, so it wasn't very good. It was all over the place. Even on our farms, some of the corn on corn was down in the 130s, and then some of it was 190s, 200, so it was pretty rough. You go north of us, maybe 5, 10 miles, and it's a whole different world. And then it gets worse south of us. Our operation's mainly in northern Calhoun and southern Pocahontas County.
So in central Iowa, north-central Iowa, I guess, north-central west. What do you call yourself from that area? we were just discussing your home counties. What do you call it?
We're kind of west of the middle part, aren't we?
Northwest of the middle part? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's close enough. So are you one of those guys, I mean, you're a banker by trade or by vocation in addition to farming. Are you one of those that looks at the numbers of the monitor and you get excited when it goes up and your heart drops when it goes down?
Yeah, the monitors, they're a really neat, cool thing because you can see what's going on, but you really end up paying more attention to the monitor than what you're doing sometimes. But so this year with the drought and the hot southern winds that we got, the south ends of the field could be 50 bushel to 100 bushel, where you could get up into the north end. If you had a field that laid north-south, you get up in the north end, you might be hitting the 250, 300. It was crazy. The best thing you could have is if your neighbor to the south planted corn, because then he took the hit for you. But some of these east-west fields that had beans on the south side, they were terrible.
All right, we're sitting outside today to have this discussion. And so are you one that, when you get to go out and farm, do you enjoy the time outside since you're kind of stuck inside with the day job sometimes?
Well, actually, my day job is more outside and running around meeting with people than actually sitting in the office. But no, farming is my vacation. I love it. It's a
vacation,
passion.
Not vocation.
Correct.
Okay, the A, not the O. Why not farming full time?
That's the way farming is. I'm the sixth generation farmer and the second generation with a day job, so I'm just carrying on the tradition. And I'm passionate about what I do at work and get to work with people and help operations and businesses succeed. I don't think I could ever farm full time. I need the interactions with people. I need to help them and watch them grow their businesses.
So that's a big part. But let's finish up on the farm here. What you grew up with brothers, sisters, or were you the only one?
Yep, I have one brother. He's down in Missouri.
Does he farm?
Nope.
No?
He was back this weekend helping me, though, which was nice.
And your folks?
Yep. They actually live right across the road, so it's an awesome relationship for their grandkids, our kids, and us. And Dad's an integral part of the operation helping. It's great.
So is he still the main operator, or is that you?
No. We kind of had our own thing, and then a few years ago, it kind of tossed a hand grenade right during the Ag Depression.
It happens.
Yes, yes,
it happens.
Does.
And so then banking, was that always something you thought was of interest, or you just one of those, I want to help people, it just happened to be I'm in banking?
Actually, it was kind of a strange deal. So I was an IT guy, and I was farming at the time, and my banker went to retire, and he threw my name in the ring and thought it'd be a neat thing for me. And I was actually kind of nervous about it, because if you're out of IT for a year or two, if this wouldn't have worked out, I'd had to start over again, basically. So I wasn't in the cards at all. But now that I do it and I work for a family-owned bank, it's a great place to work. I really wish I'd have known about this in college, because it's a wonderful job. You get to run around, you get to visit with people, you get paid to drive around and talk to people and help them out. It's great.
I have a friend who's a banker, and he was a communications guy, and he still does some play-by-play and radio and TV stuff, but the calling that he has of, I just go and talk to people and meet with people and socialize. And I mean, it's a perfect job for him. And it sounds like it matches up for you. But I don't always think of the IT people that like to talk to people. So where did that, were you one of those outliers in IT that talked?
Well, I was a farm kid and I liked working on stuff. So that was a way of working on stuff without getting your fingers dirty, I guess. So.
Yeah, I used to like it. It's all right.
Yeah.
So your bank, not only is your farm operation multi-generational, so is your bank. Tell me about your bank there in Manson.
Correct. Really similar to farming and farm operations. Our bank's actually six generations have owned our bank. It's in the same family, closely held, and the grandson of the owner when I came on board is now on the board. So it's great. And they're really involved. They love the employees. They love what we're doing in these communities.
30 years ago, when you said the word, when if I would have said the word banking to you, does that picture match up with what the picture is today?
At 11 years old, I don't know really what I was contemplating, actually.
But you didn't, I mean, but you knew at that age, you could look and go, oh, three-piece suit,
I know.
A time watch.
And that's an unfortunate thing with banking is people think these guys sitting in these rooms and these gals, they're just mothballed, stuck to their chairs, you know, but nowadays, you got to get out and about. You got to be out there. You got to see what your customers are doing. You got to interact with them. You got to help them out. You can't help them out by sitting in a 8x8 room.
Did that change because the customers didn't want to come see you?
I think it's just a culture thing. I think it changed because when I was hired, the owner of the bank said if he saw me in the chair, he was going to take it away.
That's good that it comes from the top like that.
Yeah, no, it was a sales culture. It's work with your people. And, you know, in industry, basically we all sell the same products for the same price. The only thing that can be different from the competition is culture and aggressiveness and just being out there in relationships.
The nature of you're in your chair, you're doing it wrong. And see, and I remember 30 years ago, 40 years ago, when you'd go to the bank, yeah, you had to sit there and Dad had to have his paperwork out, and you know, it was a tough time, and you know, trying to figure out, can we go, can we move forward for another year, can I think you got to stop buying cows, or you can only buy this much. Yes, those conversations happen, but I've asked people who've been previous in your position on we'll get to that in the Iowa Bankers Association in a minute, but they have said that it shouldn't be a one time a year conversation. It's a multi-year conversation. Why is that so important?
The ag, it's a risky business, and there's and not just ag, commercial, everything. There's a lot going on, and if you want to best help your customers, you got to be involved. You got to meeting with them multiple times a year. You got to be knowing what they're thinking, knowing what they're feeling, seeing how things are going. You just got to keep in touch with people.
Because you don't want to be, A, you don't want to be surprised either.
No, bankers, surprise is the worst word for a banker. We hate surprises.
So that word still sticks with when I, stoic and surprises,
yes.
Right? So one is gone, the other one is still there.
Surprises are bad.
So when you're involved in this bank and you're in the community, and I think you've told me you've got customers that aren't necessarily tied where I can see Manson from here. They're kind of all over.
Yep.
It's no, I mean, community bank is still important. I don't.
Community banks are an integral thing to these communities, these small towns in Iowa. Losing a bank's almost as bad as losing your school because you need the bank there. That's helped funding innovative ideas. It's helping keep things going. And they're also usually all the employees are involved. You know, they're helping out in the community, doing different things. We like to actively participate with the schools, with organizations going on, both physically with our time and giving donations.
And at what point did you realize that, oh, I want to be in some other groups, and you start getting involved with the Iowa Bankers Association?
So basically, since I was an IT nerd, I had to learn banking. And Iowa Bankers has some great programs. They have classes, actual schools. So I got involved with Iowa Bankers probably the second year I was in the banking because I went to the Iowa Bankers Ag School. So I've done multiple schools through them throughout the years. Then just kind of through the last couple schools, I got to know Bob Hartwig pretty good, and he's a wonderful guy. And he was kind of telling me about the Ag Committee, so I thought it would be a nice way to put in some time and hopefully help other bankers help their customers.
I guess it's a misconception for those who aren't from the Midwest, and they think, oh, you mean there's banking that's not ag-related? But, I mean, what's the percentage, I mean, without completely giving away company secrets, of Heartland Bank? I mean, is it half ag? Is it half community?
It's probably it's around 60% ag.
So it's still the majority.
It is.
But it's not 90 or 95%.
It was. We've kind of been trying to diversify and get in and helping more businesses and doing some more commercial stuff. But no, it's all these banks want to kind of keep a diversified portfolio. Yeah.
And it diversified interest too, because the community is that way now.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you start getting in with, through the committee, through the Ag Committee, I mean, your counterpart a couple of years ago from Belle Plaine, I know we had conversations with him. Now that you're chair, it just started, right? Here
correct.
First of us. So do you have to set an agenda of this is what I plan to do on my administration?
See, and I heard you ask him the same question. I'm giving you the same answer. Bob takes real good care of us.
But you provide such an important voice that Bob can't get from his office in Johnston, or somebody else gets from downtown Des Moines or Cedar Rapids or Lee County. It's important to know what's going on in Calhoun County.
And this is it's a really neat committee because it's made up of people from all over the state of Iowa. So, you know, it's easy to get backyarditis or backyarditis, and, you know, we're in a drought and it's easy to start getting bowled up on the markets. But when you get in these committee meetings that we have and you realize, you know, there's places that are looking pretty darn good. So it's just a nice way to get a gauge of what's going on out there.
Trust me, we hear about it every single week when people are like, why is this with corn? Why is this with beans? And then I'll ask that to the analysts, and they're like, you have to remember that there's more than that 200 acres sitting across from your window, and it's the same in business as it is with banking. So when you look at a community bank and you look at a statewide organization and the marriage between the two, it's like a no-brainer to have people from all over a state on a committee. And are they all ag bankers on the ag committee?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of us do ag and commercial, but there's some only ag people on it, too.
Okay. What's been the best thing you think you've learned other than a networking side of things?
I don't know. That networking, it was huge. It was really, the whole networking thing through IBA and some of the meetings and just getting to know people. When this PPP thing came out, it was great. Having these resources of other bankers that we could talk to and ask ideas, and because the whole PPP thing for bankers, it was insane. Nobody knew what was going on. It was great having these networks, which were built through IBA, to kind of help us come up with a plan on how we were going to execute it. The other, as far as the ag, convention, mm-hmm. I guess you'd call it, and that. The goal there is to provide resources to these bankers that they can go back and help their customers, which is it's huge. We want to see everybody be successful.
And this year's convention was supposed to happen in Ames in early March, one of the first casualties of the world we live in now.
Unfortunately, it was. And we had a great program set up, which a lot of those same people will be coming back next year. So hopefully the world returns to a normal place.
Is there such thing as normal anymore?
Hopefully.
Is there a new normal?
No, I'm not going to accept
you wanna that. You want to go to the old normal?
Yep.
Of course business has changed. You haven't, when did your lobby, how long was your lobby closed?
We only closed for a few weeks, kind of at the beginning of this, so we kind of got to gauge what was going on, which actually worked out pretty good, because then we got thrown into that PPP. So we were able to be a lot more efficient just to get this thing, get through that thing. Because Harlan Bank, we're about $180 million bank, small bank, but we tried to reach out to as many of our customers as we could through the PPP loans. We ended up doing a little bit over $13 million with PPP loans, which was a lot of work.
Not easy, and it was tough to navigate for those people who were filling out the paperwork.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing you're saying you had just as many questions trying to help people fill out the paperwork.
So fortunately for us, we're pretty innovative when it comes to technology, and we had the capabilities to do everything from home, have all the documents signed electronically. So at the beginning of this whole thing, we were able to operate very efficiently and try to provide the best service we could, as usual. So we opened most of the lobbies up, all the lobbies, actually, that first week of June. And, you know, we're conscientious of people that are concerned. We've got the shields up. I mean, if people aren't uncomfortable, we have technology. We have the drive-through. In no way, shape, or form has this changed our ability to provide service to our customers.
It's been able to continue, if not strengthen?
I'd say it's strengthened the bond just because I think we were able to do a lot of things that some of the competition wasn't doing. You know, and that goes for all community banks. I don't want to bash banks, but you get into some of the larger institutions, they acted a little bit differently during this and moved differently and maybe didn't provide the best service they could for their customers.
So when you look back at, it sounds like PPP is going to be the thing that sticks with you from this COVID thing more than anything, from a financial standpoint.
as a workload standpoint, yes. But on the ag side, you know, this was devastating. Trade at the beginning, we watched our market prices collapse. If it wasn't for CFAP 1 and 2, we haven't really gotten any renewals, but I have a feeling that's going to be the glue that's going to keep working capital at least 1-to-1. So the commodity prices, there's other things that stung from this deal other than just the PPP.
Can you remember life before March 1st on, you know, how what the challenges were, and are they different now?
So what are we, 7 months from that? Feels like about 10 years.
It does, doesn't it?
It is unbelievable just how far back that seems.
But, I mean, there's still some of those same challenges, though. I mean, trade was an issue that we were looking at.
It's been an issue since...
Commodity prices have been an issue. Commodity prices have been an issue forever.
Trade and commodity prices have been an issue since the beginning of trade and commodity. So I'm sure the Indians were squabbling over how much trade they get for their corn when they invented it.
Or as Don Rose said last week, he says the Chinese have been trading forever.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they taught the world how to trade. I mean, that was one of the first things. So we got to remember what their knowledge is and how they do the business of trade. Mm-hmm. And we just have to remember that's who we're dealing with. Does the farmer, your customer, your client care about COVID in the sense that it's disrupted their life? I mean, or do they...
I think everybody cares. I think everybody's life or perception of life has been disrupted.
And I shouldn't say it's not, it's a laissez-faire or whatever about it, but it's just like, oh, seriously, one more thing that we got to deal with.
And that, I mean, that is a big reaction between the market drop, and some people are legitimately scared, and they've changed the way they're doing their lives and going about life. But rural, you know, in the ag community, people have been through a lot, so it's just another blip on the radar.
Yeah. There is another, yeah, it's another battle scar for them.
Then we got to throw a drought in the mix of it, too, and then the derecho for some of these poor guys. Coming down here to see you, I couldn't, you know, I saw the laid down corn earlier, but now you see this nice weather and that rain you got, all the volunteer corn coming up, you know, it's a terrible thing what those guys went through.
Well, the one side of that I heard is, it's okay that it's coming up now because it'll get rid of some of that crop.
Oh,
you don't
yeah.
have to worry
yeah.
about it. The frost will kill it whenever we get frost.
You don't want 200-plus bushels of volunteer corn growing next year, that's for sure.
Talk about the folks at the seed companies are going to go, well, gosh, the spacing on that was I think we could cram more
into
the
row.
There
you go. We'll be planting 100,000 population corn next year.
What is – so in – let's just take Manson, for instance. You know, what's Main Street like right now?
I mean, there at the beginning it kind of shut down, but it's been business as usual in most of the towns and communities that I've been active in dealing with customers in. It's everything's pretty much normal.
Do you know of anybody in any of the homes that have maybe come from a larger town and decided they want to move back home? Or
I'm really hopeful because rural Iowa, it's terrible what's happening out there. I'm very hopeful that more people are allowed to work from home. They're able to do things a little bit differently, and hopefully we'll see some sort of a resurgence in some of these rural communities. I do know of some people that had relatives that were in bigger cities that had more problems, and they came home and they loved it. And they came home and worked from home, and it gave grandparents some time with their grandkids. So there are some positives out of this with some relationships.
Well, and that's, I mean, anecdotally we hear those stories about, oh, well, as long as I got good internet, and there are rural communities that have outstanding internet, better than they would get in this city at some point, and they're going to get more land. That's why the housing market is hot as it is right now. Is people are like, I can't live in that downtown city apartment anymore. I need my space back.
Air. And there's some local telcos down there that are actually have fiber throughout their counties. You know, they got them right up to the farmhouses. Unfortunately, we don't at this point, but someday it'd be
someday.
Nice.
But you know, I mean, so then you go back to those towns that maybe put their neck out 10 years ago, way ahead of the game. It paid off, but it took a pandemic, unfortunately, to pay off for them.
I guess we'll tell in 10 years, but it'd be wonderful if we could get people excited and get them moving back to rural Iowa.
Do you see that rural Iowa can capitalize on this, other than what we just said?
There'd be a political issue to it, maybe, on how you'd market it, but it would be nice if some organization would capitalize on it somehow.
Well, I mean, you hear about all the lake houses. You're not that far from, like, say, Twin Lakes.
Yeah, Twin Lakes is 4 miles from my house.
So you hear that the properties on all these vacation places are like, there was the concern of an economy in before March 1 of, well, gosh, I don't need that lake house anymore. And now you can't find one.
No, this through the roof. And our kids enjoy going to the lake. That lake was the busiest I've ever seen it. Every day. Every day there are kids swimming, their families getting together. So back to the pluses out of this, there's some families got to spend some time together and realize, you know, that's what this life is about, spending time with your family.
There is an adjustment that that this has done.
Correct.
Absolutely. Do you think as we try to navigate forward, I mean, this will air before, we're having this discussion before an election. We know that an election is happening. We know that there'll be change, not that necessarily that parties will change in power, but usually elections always have an outcome, and you always have to kind of navigate that. It doesn't matter who wins, if it's a re-election or if it's a new in. Does that always make life interesting? I mean, I always hear about business side of, we just want to know what the rules are so we can plan.
People change. I mean, people hold off on doing big projects or making big moves until they know what's happening. And I'll take this time to just throw a little plug in for Farm Bureau, because Farm Bureau researches all these candidates, the local ones, state, national, and they look for their feelings towards ag issues, because we need people. Ag is a very tiny portion of the population of the United States, and we need politicians, we need lobbyists in there that can help protect us. Farm Bureau researches each candidate, and it'll be blue or red. They don't care. They'll give you a list of who's
ag
friendly.
Whoever's best for agriculture.
Correct.
What's a perfect candidate look like right now?
We don't even need to go down that road.
Well, but I mean, I'm not saying, in the sense of what they're for in terms of agriculture. I mean, pro-trade.
I think the perfect candidate knows the Constitution from the front and back, and they're pro-America.
Yeah.
You know, trade, that's just one part of it. It's the whole works. You got to be pro-America. We want Americans to be successful. We want America to be successful.
And that's what we've been built on.
Correct.
I mean, that's how we started, and we wanted a better life for whatever, yep, our forefathers and all of that.
So that's where some of these trade deals are actually good, because I think in the past, a lot of the trade deals were based off of more politics, where I think now we're looking at more, how do we help our people? How do we make our country better? How do we help our farmers? How do we help our businessmen?
Well, when you sit in your meetings, not necessarily for other bankers, but you've sat in enough meetings over time, when a policy decision is made here in, say, September or October, it might be 2 to 3 years before anything
yeah,
happens from that.
And correct.
Why is it so hard to do a plan to an enactment,
I don't know,
regardless of what it is?
Slow-moving process. Plus, then, a lot of times, nobody investigates the unintended consequences of what doing that is going to, what else is going to get moved, yeah, by whatever it is we're trying to improve. Yeah.
As 2021 comes, as you look forward, well, what do we see as the biggest challenges for banking?
As an Iowa banker, I think it's going to be kind of concerning to see how some of these operations come through this with the price. And, you know, the prices have improved recently, but a lot of, earlier on, you know, farmers make pre-sales. A lot of guys had some stuff sold, and that might have been 20% ago of what the price is now. So I'm just hopeful that all the producers can come out whole this year, and we can go gung-ho into 2021. Hopefully everything's back to normal, and we just get the crop in the ground, you know, have a good crop, and get harvested. That, you know, that's the worst part about farming, is sometimes you don't enjoy the little things, because right when you put that planter in the shed in the spring, you can't wait till harvest because you want to see how it went, you know. So it feels like sometimes you just want to fast forward all the time.
So are you saying that the hardest part is from planting to harvest, not harvest to planting, for waiting?
Correct, for me at least, because I'm very busy from harvest to planting.
Between, I suppose you are.
Between the bank side, and then we also have a crop insurance agency, and I do deal with the crop insurance too.
So you talk about a bank that's diversified. That's the name of the game. What farm is in the best shape right now?
You know, it's these operations that are either closely held with very little debt, or they're creative. They know how to do other things. They have other things going on. They have multiple income streams coming in. Those are the operations that are holding it together. And then just some of them that they're just doing things differently. You know, that's the wonderful thing about farming, or any business for that matter, is there's a million different ways to do it, you know, and everybody's got their own little tweak, own little way of how they're getting the high yields. You know, that's the high yield thing is a big one now, because with the prices the way they've been since basically, 2012, 2013, we've been at basically break even. So the only way to get out of that is to lower your cost of production or have the best yields possible.
And if you don't have rain and you don't have that field that has the cornfield on the south side providing you, blocking for the southerly breezes.
Rain makes grain, but unfortunately, if you don't, you also don't want that wind that those guys got.
Well, we're sitting out here in the wind again, and there were times this summer where it was hot and the wind kept blowing and
something.
It just dried everything else up.
Yep.
But that's the weird thing about agriculture is you can have areas that had a derecho be 6 miles away, nothing.
Oh, you can be 1 mile away.
Yeah.
I mean, the last drought years, 2012 and 13, there was one time I had the machine shed open. I was getting ready. Something must have been July, and it was dry. And it's sunny. At my house, I could see the rain, smell the rain, and I could hear the rain hitting the corn like a quarter mile away. It is what it is. You either have your day or you don't.
I've told this story before, and it's always something my father, we would be in town, and we'd be driving, and we'd be in rain, and he'd be excited, and he just knew. Hot! Dang it! 3/4 of a mile from home, and it stops. I mean, I don't know how many times I heard that speech.
Yep.
And it's true.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, let's go back to the part of we're looking at our neighbor across, we're looking at that 200 acres across the road. Why is it hard sometimes for people to understand that that might not be their competition across the road? I'm making a jump because of what you just said, because the owner of that 200 might be in debt to their eyeballs and you're not. So that's not your same competition from me, for the way I see it. Is that a fair statement?
I know there's some of that out there, but farmers are kind of like good bankers. I mean, they want to see all their neighbors. They want to see everybody successful because they understand that we need as many people back in these small communities, rural Iowa, these declining population counties. We need them there. And look at the businesses that these farmers bring in. I mean, it's huge. You got all the way from your hair salon to the implement dealer. I mean, they're spending money in town. They're keeping things local.
It's always a stimulus, right, when a farmer gets a check?
Yeah. Yep. And as a farmer, I can say this, but if we make a dollar, we spend two. But like in these tighter markets, you know, the purses are tight right now. This equipment's getting heavy hours on it. They're getting to be maintenance issues, but it's time that we get a good year. Hopefully 2021 is it.
Is the perfect year one where the weather all works and you get the highest yield, or somebody that's your competitor doesn't have as good of a year?
It's when everybody wins.
It all works. All right, John, anything else on your list that I didn't get you to bring in? Because I don't usually leave it so open, but sometimes I get surprised. And you're like, hey, I wanted to talk about this. Anything else?
Well, I don't know. You know, we kind of hit on it, but it's good to work with a local community bank. They know your area and they know your people. They know your farms. They know you in the neighborhood. And the other thing that I really would love to get out there is just the banking career for these younger people to actually consider it, and maybe job shadow somebody. It's a pretty fun job if you're at the right place, and it's something to look forward to. It's awesome being able to help somebody run their business and year after year just see them get better. You end up watching their kids grow up because you're meeting with them in their houses. You know, you're seeing their kids grow up from little toddlers all the way to graduating college, and you're seeing their kids pick up sometimes their business, sometimes starting their own business. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and you get to see them eye to eye and have a face-to-face conversation.
Yeah, just like today.
Just like today. John, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Paul.
My thanks to John Rosenboom for his time, and if you have an idea for a guest, hit us up, market@iowapbs.org. I'm Paul Yeager. Thanks for listening.